Hello, everybody in H10 land. This is Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray, and today is Sunday, June the 19th. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope you're having a great day with your kids, with your spouses. Thank you for being good dads. This is episode 35. As I said, I'm T-Ray, and actually today I've got a different co-host because Joe had a bachelor party last night and he was not ready to be here for a recording today. So, Zorny, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, so Zorny, if you guys don't know, has done the Fantasy Tigers League with us all season. And then also he's the man behind the design of the logos for the website. And then also he was on one of the vodcasts and he was on one of the podcasts at the very start of 2016 as well. So glad to have you back with us here, Zorny.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's always good to be here with you, T-Ray.
So tell us again, Zorn, like, where are you at and how are things going as far as following the Tigers this year?
It's a lot of ups and downs, I would say. We're always expecting for a great series or a sweep or even a winning streak, but it's not being that easy, I would say, to follow.
Are you watching a lot of games, or how's that going?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I would say half of the games so far. I try to watch the recaps, the highlights, and when I'm not able to watch all the games, I just go for the highlights. For the stats also, just to see how my guys are playing, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Good stuff. One more thing. I don't know if we mentioned this in the last podcast or if things have even changed since we talked to you last, but where are you living now, bro?
I think we didn't mention, but I'm living in Dubai right now. So it's 5 hours difference. So when the games are played on at 2 o'clock, here is 9 o'clock a.m.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so
then it's a 1 p.m. start on the night games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Cool stuff. All right, well, Zorny's going to join us for the rest of the show and possibly for the next couple of shows. So stick around. We're going to do our regular routine in just a bit. All right, before we get into that, let me just say that today is episode 35, which is episode Katsuhiko Saka. He wears number 35 for the Tigers and has for the past decade. Now, Zorny, he's on your fantasy team. How is he doing so far?
Not good. Not good at all. I'm probably going to drop him in our...
A little preview for the, the upcoming...
No, but I mean, following him in this season has not been a good thing, you know. He's not playing, not playing well, not performing well. So this guy, when I have to update my sheet, he's not someone that I really liked. I really enjoy updating. So he's probably going off. Yeah.
So the only thing I remember about Saka, and by the way, I am not a fan of his either. Is that Wada just loved using him as a defensive replacement last year, and he spent a lot of time up on the Ichigun team. Couldn't hit to save his life.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for once when he was hero of the game, and I happened to be at that game. It was a game started by Randy Messenger, and he hit the game-winning RBI and went up beating the Dragons. So that was the only time I had a favorable impression of Saka. Other than that, I'm glad he's on the farm, and I'm glad he's not on my fantasy team. But anyways... you know, we're glad to have an episode number 35 and be able to talk a little bit about our boy Saka.
Right.
All right, let's move on. We are going to talk recap of the week that was. Recap. So, Zorny, we're starting with the Buffaloes coming to town, and that's basically just across the bridge, across the river, to Koshien to face our Hanshin Tigers. And the Buffaloes, as we heard last week from Christian and from Patrick, are a terrible team, a terrible record, with terrible management. They've got a few good pieces, but not enough to be able to win a whole lot of games. So Tuesday, we bring Atsushi Nomi to the mound, and they bring Nishi. Anyhow, I suck at first names, if you haven't noticed this over the past several weeks or months. Anyway, so this is what went down. We scored a run in the bottom of the second inning when, after a couple of hits, and we had runners on the corners, Takayama hit into a double play to get us our first run of the game. And the game remained 1-0 all the way until the bottom of the seventh, at which time we brought in Kano as our pinch hitter with two outs and runners on the corners again. And he actually got an infield hit, legged out a single, and another run scored. So it's 2-0. And in fact, that's how this one ended. Nomi got the win, which was his fourth of the season and his first in ages. He only went five innings, though. And there was talk about him having irregular breathing during the game, so he had to leave early. Dolis Kim picked up the save, but we also had three other clean innings from our other relievers, which is like a miracle. Mind you, it is the Buffaloes.
It was so weird because he was kind of doing okay, you know, Nomi, and all of a sudden he was out, and then Ando took over, then Takahashi, Fujikawa, and Dolis did a really good job. And I think everyone was asking themselves, so what happened to Nomi, right? So actually,
yeah,
I think it was something. I don't know, so, like you said.
Yeah, a couple of things. He had reached 99 pitches, which is not, you know, too high for him by any means. It's pretty high for five innings work. And then he was the first up, or the first due up at the plate in the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah.
Oh, which doesn't make sense because he didn't pitch the top of the sixth. Never mind. I guess Ando would have been the one due up. But maybe they could have tried to push Nomi for another inning. But obviously, his breathing was causing him some issues. And we're not sure how serious it was. But they did deactivate him. I think it was the day after that game. And the only thing I can think is, one, he may need to have some medical checkups. But the other one is that this coming week, we actually only have three games on schedule, and so we probably don't really have a need for Nomi to be up on the big team, so he can kind of get some extra rest, and we can bring up another player in order to fill up our roster and maybe get like a better pinch hitter in or another reliever to choke on leads or whatever.
Yeah,
that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, let the guy take a rest and come back with full energy, you know, just to boost a little bit the rotation, because we really need this. Yep. We really need this. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, by the way, his name is Yuki Nishi. Yuki Nishi, I should say.
Saw it too. Yeah.
So anyways, 2-0 win for us. It's great. I mean, it's great to get a shout out. And, after the game, I think it was after the game or something like that, I saw that a guy named NPB Reddit, I follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow. If you do tweet, absolutely look him up, because you'll get a lot of interesting stats and a lot of links to a lot of highlights. Anyways, he had mentioned, he kind of listed off all of the team's shutouts for and shutouts against, and actually the Hanshin Tigers were 8 shutouts for and 3 against, believe it or not, which is actually the best plus minus as far as shutouts go in NPB. Amazing. I was actually surprised that we had only been shut out 3 times up to this point in the season. Of course, that changed this week, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Any other comments on that, or should we move on to Wednesday's games, Arnie?
No, I think Haraguchi did well, as always, I would say. And a surprise was Kano, just one hit in one at-bat, and he got an RBI as well. So I think he was the hero of the match, right? I think Kano.
I can't imagine it going to anybody else. Yeah, you're right. It was him.
Yeah, I think the only RBI was from Kano, and only at bat, and that was it. Yeah.
Interestingly, it wasn't the game winning RBI.
Exactly.
It was kind of the insurance run, but at the same time, it was the only RBI of the game.
Yep.
And then Nomi was not outstanding on the mound, so it's hard to give him the hero. So I mean, it was really tough. I mean, these guys that choose the hero of the game must have been racking their brains. But anyways, it is what it is. And it's a win. It's a shutout win. It's good for the Tigers to start the week off really well. It was our first time opening an interleague series with a victory, meaning that game one of the Eagles, Lions, Marines, and Fighters series, we lost. This is the first time we won game one of a series.
Yeah.
So that was good. Now we move into Wednesday, and actually I was at this game because I was leading a kind of a tour group. There was a group of students from Elon University, which is in North Carolina, America, and they wanted to check out a Japanese baseball game, and they asked if I could lead them through the game, I guess you could say. And so that was a lot of fun. We had seats on the first base side, and it was kind of exciting to be there with a group of people and to be able to try and, you know, help them understand the game a little bit better. We put Koyo Aoyagi on the mound, and they put some guy named Matsuba, again, I forget the first name. And so this one, it was looking like it was going to be a really low-scoring affair. We got our first run of the game on a Ryota Arai sacrifice fly in the bottom of the fourth inning. That was with one out and runners on second and third. So obviously it would have been nice to get a single and get two runs, or a home run and get three runs, but it didn't happen. Anyways, 1-0, and we held on dearly to that. Aoyagi stepped off the mound after 5 shutout innings, and he kind of struggled, but he held them off the board. And then our relief, who did 4 innings of incredible work on Tuesday, did 4 innings of stink on Wednesday, because in the top of the 6th, they tied the game up on a single to right with runners on first and second. And then in the top of the 8th is when it all fell apart. Takahashi was on the mound for most of that. He gave up a solo home run, then he gave up an RBI double, a 2-run RBI double to left field. And then I think he might have been pulled. I'm not really sure. Anyways, then Nishino came in and gave them another run. So it was 5-1 after the 8th, and that's the way that it ended. So it was a real stinker, and I felt really bad for the Elon students because they were getting pretty bored. It was a long game, considering there was almost no run scoring until the 8th, and we managed just 3 hits on the night. One of them came after we left. not much to talk about in this one. Takahashi took the loss, obviously, so he's 3-1 on the year. But any thoughts on this one, Zorny?
I think, yeah, the bullpen didn't came up with full force. Inokita actually gave up the tying run, and then Mateo came, was okay, and then Takahashi was a disaster, totally disaster.
This was Mateo's first action, I think, since being called back up. He came in, actually, though, he was the one pitching, I believe, when they scored the run. It went on Enokita's on his tab, but Mateo's the one that gave up the hit that brought the run in. So, yeah, not a whole lot to get excited about in this one at all. Just as a little side note, Gomez hit the only extra base hit for the team, which was a double, but then he ended the game with a strikeout, which is going to come into play in just a little bit here. So, actually, Thursday's game, the rubber match, was rained out. It rained here almost all day, and they actually had the players try to do warm-ups, and they tried to get the field ready, and there were even some fans in the stands, and they called it at 6:10, which is about 10 minutes after scheduled game time. That one is going to be played, actually, before you get to hear this podcast, probably, because they're playing it Monday night.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that in our predictions a little bit. But we move on, even though we're staying right at Koshien, we are going to wrap up most of the interleague play against the SoftBank Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest team to beat in all of Japanese baseball.
Our nemesis.
The team that has owned everybody. Our nemesis in a sense, except for the fact that I don't know if we're ever going to face them in the postseason anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But so Friday, again, I got to be at this game. I had tickets with a buddy of mine, and it was a beautiful night for baseball. The weather was great, and it was hopefully going to be an exciting game as we brought Fujinami to the mound, and they brought Nakata to the mound.
Yeah.
So, actually, this is what happened from my perspective. The first 3 innings played out really clean, and Fujinami looked great. And after 3 innings of the Tigers doing not a whole lot, I said to my buddy, hey, let's go get some food because I'm hungry. So we get up, we line up for food. I got some really good taco rice. I got some really good fries. That's kind of a minor point, but by the time we got back to our seats, the score is 2-0 for the SoftBank Hawks. Fujinami's still on the mound with no outs and runners on base. And I'm going, what happened when we left? Like, why did we leave? Maybe if we had stayed, this would have never happened. Yeah, right. Well, the Hawks were knocking on the door, trying to get some more runs. But as soon as I sat down, Fujinami induced a flyout and then a double play to get out of the inning safe. So good on him. I watched some of the highlights and I saw that the at least one of the hits that they got was just like a high chopper. It was an infield single that scored a run. So that was kind of unfortunate because it was not a solid hit. Anyways, things were still silent for the Tigers right through until the sixth inning. I think we had 4 hits through the first 5 innings, but it was just 1 hit in any given inning. So we had never threatened to do anything because no runner got past first base. Now in the sixth, all of a sudden things got a little bit more exciting for us. And the situation is that with 2 outs, the bases are loaded and Hayata Ito is at the dish. And Nakata, for the first time in the whole game, is facing a little bit of a pinch. And he walks Ito and the first run scores. And Umeno comes up to the dish. Bases loaded still, 2 outs still. And he walks Umeno as well. So the game is tied 2-2. Now, what do you do in this situation, Zorni? Fujinami's due up, and he's pitched 6 innings, and he's done a pretty good job, and his pitch count is not terribly high. Do you keep him in the game and hope that he gets a hit, and then pitch him through the 7th and beyond, or do you bring in a pinch hitter?
Pinch hitter, for sure.
And that's what the Tigers did. They brought in Keisuke Kano, and he ended up flying out to second base to end the threat. So it was a 2-run inning. The game is tied, which is great. Good for us. Then we move on. The 7th and 8th are scoreless. The top of the 9th is scoreless. And the bottom of the 9th, they bring in closer Dennis Sarfate. And with 2 outs and a runner on first and 2 strikes on Kosuke Fukudome and Shunsuke being the pinch runner, he attempts to steal second and Kosuke swings or check swings at a pitch, and Sarfate was sure that he had gotten the final out of the game with a strikeout. The umps said that Kosuke was able to check his swing, that he did not follow through, so it's still strike 2. Now it's a full count, and Shunsuke is on second, and Kosuke pokes one through the infield into left, and Shunsuke comes barreling around towards home. The throw comes in, he slides just barely under the tag. It is a walk-off win for the Tigers, 3-2. Wait. No, SoftBank is going to protest and say, we want a video replay. They do the video replay. And the call stands. So it's 3-2, so we win. We took the first game of another series. We beat the Mighty Hawks. Zorni, what do you think?
Yeah, in the first game. And that gives you some hope. You know, maybe the series is not going to be that bad. And all of a sudden, we beat them, which is awesome. You know, like, let's get this momentum going. But
not only do we beat them, but we beat their closer, who's actually a very solid closer.
Yeah, exactly. Which started a tantrum and started to, you know, which is totally unnecessary, I would say.
Yeah, he lost it. He slammed his glove down in the dugout, I think. And he was yelling all sorts of stuff that, you know, that the umps missed the call and blah, blah, blah. And that if it was anyone other than Kosuke Fukudome, that would have been a strike.
Yeah, for sure. And, that's what he said. And I would like to highlight the discipline, you know, the discipline on play. If it wasn't for
oh, man.
Yeah, for Ito and for Umeno. Yeah, for sure. We wouldn't tie the game. So that's I give a totally credit for these guys for staying disciplined and looking the ball properly. That was really good. That was really good. We really need this one.
I especially give mad props to Ito because he's a guy that's just been called up. So he does have something to prove.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure he would have loved to get a hit to score 2 runs or get an extra base hit to clear the bases or even a grand slam home run for the first time for the team in 2 years. You know, he would have loved to have been the hero to cement his spot in the roster. And he held back on some pitches that were pretty close.
Exactly.
So that was amazing. That was really good. And then with Umeno, of course, it was great. But, you know, he's also looked at Nakata having already walked two guys that inning. So, you know, he's probably already got it in his mind, like, if I watch a few, chances are I'm going to get some, you know, some balls and I may be able to walk. But, yeah, good on both of them. And then good on Fukudome for holding off on that Sarfate pitch as well. So, yeah, a great win, real exciting one, a good way to go into Saturday. And as I started to watch Saturday's game, the TV commentators were saying, one of them is an ex-player, and he said, man, you know, a day game after a night game is just the hardest thing for a player, and especially since the Friday night game was almost 4 hours. And, you know, he goes, I don't think the first inning is going to go very well for either team. There may not be a lot of action for a while because it's going to take a while for the players to wake up. Sure enough, they brought Koldai Senga to the mound, who is one of their young, excellent pitchers. And we brought not so young, but still equally excellent Randy Messenger to the mound in this one. So this one remained scoreless until the top of the third inning, when with one out and runners on first and third, they actually pulled a little bit of a surprise out. And Imamiya... lay down a bunt. It was a squeeze play. It was successful. Messenger tried to pull an Iwasada from the week before, where Iwasada gloved it to home base and got the runner out, or got him into a chase down. Messenger's gloving the ball to home resulted in disaster. He actually gloved it about 2 feet wide, and the runners advanced to second and third, besides the one runner being safe. So it's an even worse scenario now. There's one out and two runners in scoring position, but Randy held tough, so he got out of the inning. It's still 1-0, and now it's in the incapable, useless hands of the Tigers bats, Tigers players. And that was actually it. That was the end of the scoring for this one, Zorni. 1-0. SoftBank totaled 4 hits all game. Hanshin managed just 2.
Yeah.
So 1-0, real heartbreaker, a tough way to lose, and a tough end to the one-game winning streak of the Hanshin Tigers.
Yeah, totally unfair with Randy, because he's the man. Yeah. I think he's the man. For this week. Yeah, we're gonna get through that. But I mean, the only two hits that we got was from Ito and Messenger. So he almost did it all. You know, He pitched 8 innings, just 4 hits, 9 Ks, 1 walk, and unfortunately we got the earned run, so just 1 run. But I mean, he was the man of the match, you know, man of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but it's unfortunate that he allowed you know, 2 of those hits and 1 walk.
Yeah.
In the same inning.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, that's a golden line right there. If you take away the fact that a lot of it was concentrated in the one inning. By the way, Toritani got his one requisite walk of the game, which seems to be his pattern. He also got on base on an error, so we had 4 guys reach base the whole game.
Yeah.
One of those was nullified by a double play. So essentially, I mean, we only had 1 guy reach second base all game, and that was Messenger in the bottom of the third. Yeah. So yeah, yes, a pretty rough one for us, for sure.
And again, not back-to-back games, you know, like when we had a good game the previous day and then just dropped this one. And,
So just a note on that, the Tigers are now, I believe, 1-11 in series, in the game 2 of a series in which they won the first game of the series. You know what I'm saying? Like in a 3-game series, if they win game 1,
they're going to drop this.
1 out of 12 times they drop game 2. Yeah. Or 1 out of 12 times they win game 2. Zorni, do you remember the one time that they won the first 2 games of the series this year?
Oh, man. I remember. I think it was the Giants, right?
Bingo, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. It was in Tokyo Dome when Messenger won the middle game of that one, and we absolutely smoked them in that game. I think it was like a 10-1 final?
Yeah, I remember that because we were looking for the sweep on the last game and we couldn't manage.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That was the first time and the only time all season that we have tried to sweep another team because we've never won, or just that one time we won the first 2 games of a series. So pretty embarrassing in that respect. So we go into game three now of the rubber match, and this one was held today for us, Sunday, and it was a day game as well, and we were definitely in danger of having this one called for rain, because again, it rained all morning here, and it was really up until about an hour before game time, it was raining. It was definitely looking like this one would be called, but they went on and played it. We brought Iwasada to the mound, and they brought Takeda to the mound. I actually didn't know his first name, Shota. He killed us in the Nippon Series 2 years ago, and he's a great pitcher. He's got a really good curveball. So we knew it was going to be tough. He was 7-1 on the year coming into this game with an ERA of 2.96, which is no match for Iwasada's 2.21, but still, it is pretty good. Anyways, this one went clean for 4 innings, and then in the top of the fifth, Iwasada kind of had a little bit of a mess up.
Yep.
He kind of barfed all over himself.
Big mess up.
Yeah, like walk, hit, walk. Bases are loaded. He walks the next guy, so a run scores, and the bases are still loaded, and he allows a grand slam.
Yeah.
This is the second grand slam he's allowed in Interleague, which is amazing because he was so good all the rest of the year. But anyways, it's 5-0 after the top of the fifth. The bottom of the fifth, we go down on, I think, 7 pitches for our 3 guys. So it looked like, oh man, our guys are just going to lay down and die here. But in the bottom of the seventh, we got a good thing going, and Masahiro Nakatani, who's recently been called up from the farm, gets an RBI double to make it 5-1. And then Hojo follows that up with an RBI of his own. He brings Nakatani home on a single to left field. So it's 5-2. So it's looking a little bit better for us, but that was the end of the threat. And then in the top of the eighth, Enokita gives up a solo shot to Seiichi Uchikawa. So it's 6-2 now, and it's looking like a little bit dismal. And then in the top of the ninth, we bring in Koyo Aoyagi in relief because he's not going to get a start next week because of you know, how many days off we get. And he allows a whole bunch of more hits and so on. And on a double, I believe, to left field, 2 more runs score. So it's 8-2 now for SoftBank heading into the bottom of the ninth. And obviously they have no need to bring in their closer with a 6-run lead against a team that's barely scored 6 runs all week. But we managed to put in, we managed to bring in 2 runs. One of them came on a Toritani ground out to short. So that counts as an RBI for him, but we get a run. Now it's two outs and a runner on third, and Nishioka comes up and he hits one up the middle to score another run. So it's 8-4, and that was it. I mean, there was only one more hitter after that, and Kano popped up to center to end the game. So 8-4 loss. Iwasada takes the loss. Takeda gets his 8th win in the season. We lose the series, and now our record in Interleague is 6-11, with 1 more to go tomorrow. Anyways, any thoughts on this game before we move forward, Zorn?
I think Nakatani was the man in this one. 2-for-2, 1 RBI, 2 runs. It was he was the man. So just Hojo also did really well, and Haraguchi, but it's Nakatani.
Yeah, for sure. You know, each of these guys ripped a double. That being Nakatani, Hojo, and Haraguchi. And Hojo and Haraguchi each had 3 hits, but Nakatani didn't even start the game. He came in as a replacement.
Right.
And yeah, he went 2-for-2, so that was great. I mean, it's good for him to, you know, definitely appeal to Kanemoto to get more playing time this coming week and to remain on the top squad. So yeah, good on him for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And one more. And actually, one more guy that is really standing out actually is Ito Kazumi for in relief.
Kazuo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Kazuo. And I mean, I think his second or third appearance in this week, and not giving up any runs.
Well, technically, he gave up a run, but it was
Exactly. But if you check his stats on the farm, it's totally. I mean, it's almost like a totally new player. It's his ERA. Yeah. I think it's untouchable for now. Yeah, it is. And if you check his ERA on the farm, it's unbelievable. It's like, I don't know, I can't remember right now, but it was really bad. So I think I think he's stepping up, you know, for this chance to play with the Ichigon team. So
absolutely, you know, I'm going with. One thing to note. Besides that, we're gonna move from pitchers to hitters here. Sorry. Is that our friend Mauro Gomez, as I mentioned, he ended the Buffalo's series with a strikeout in his final at-bat. Then on Friday, what I didn't mention is that he went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. And then on Saturday, he went 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts. And he looked absolutely terrible striking out against Senga, who's a great pitcher and who fooled a lot of our guys. I think he struck out 13 guys or 12 guys on the day. But Gomez was swinging at balls that were 2 feet out of the strike zone. And so he was pulled for a pinch hitter on Saturday, and then he did not start on Sunday, which is a very unusual move. And Kanemoto said, look, he just doesn't look like he's going to get a hit at all. He just needs some time to get to clear out his mind, and he needs to figure out how to get out of this maze himself, and he can do it. So he doesn't really need the coaches interfering with him, but he does need that time off to just kind of clear his head a little bit. Because it's clearly a mental issue, it's not physical. So that's just another thing to note about this series against the Hawks.
Yeah, and he's a power hitter, right? So you kind of expect this kind of a behavior. You know, he's gonna strike out, but I think in this week he's not performing like he used to. You know, he's gonna strike out, but you know. At the same time, he's going to get a hit, right? But this time, it was completely blank, and that was not good enough. So let's just take a break, and let's see how it goes. Maybe tomorrow or next week.
Right, okay, one more thing. Fukudome is approaching 2,000 career hits, and that includes MLB and NPB. He is now 4 shy of reaching that milestone. So hopefully he'll be able to do that. I hope he can do it tomorrow with a big day, but I kind of doubt it. So it may end up happening in Hiroshima, but he will reach that very soon. Okay. So we're done talking about most of Interleague. We will touch on Monday's game next week, but let's talk about our player of the week.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
I think it's a little bit tough to choose someone, given the fact that I think we had 6 extra base hits all week. And I believe by my count, we scored a total of 10 runs in 5 games. So that makes it really tough. Interestingly, we scored 4, 3, 2, 1, and 0. Not in that order, but those were our run totals for the week. So pretty rough week with the bats. We only went 2 and 3 on the week. Who you got for us for player of the week, Zorny?
I'm going with my boy Randy Mass. He's the man, you know. Mass. You see, that's what you said. The hitter is not bringing that much of a power, not doing so well for a while, actually. And to me, Randy is the man, because if you check all the other pitchers, they didn't go that much further in the game. So this one, he went 8 innings, he got a hit, and so that's, to me, is just, that's enough to choose my player of the week.
I'm going to agree with you 100%, and thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, none of our pitchers really went a great deal of depth into the game. I mean, we had Nomi go five innings. They were shutout innings, mind you, but just five. Aoyagi went just five. They were also shutout innings, but that's really not very deep. Fujinami went six, and he got pulled for a pinch hitter, but he allowed two runs. And then Iwasada also went just five, and he allowed five runs. So obviously our best starting pitcher of the week by far, despite being hung with a loss, was Randy Messenger. And so he definitely gets it. And yeah, I mean, he got one hit, which is more than we can say about some of our hitters this week. So yeah, you are the player of the week. Thanks, man. One more thing I want to mention, just about how bad the bats have been lately. And this is shown in the fact that we got a pitcher for player of the week now for three straight weeks. The Hanshin Tigers have two home runs in 17 interleague games. Those two home runs both came in the same series. It was the first series of interleague against the Rakuten Eagles. Since then, nothing. That's 14 straight games with nothing. Yeah. One more and we tie the club record for futility of no home runs in 15 straight. We've got none at home in this interleague. So it's just been really tough even to be a Hanshin fan at the games because there haven't been those big hits that we all love to watch.
Yeah, and if you check the stats for the number of home runs that we have the entire season,
it's 40.
Yeah, exactly, for the entire season.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, you just, we have to do something about this. I mean,
yes,
absolutely. That's sad.
And yeah, and our slugging percentage is pretty lame too. It's only 336, yeah. which is really lame. I mean, you'd love for that to be 400 or higher, yeah. But it's not. Anyways.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. And the thing is, if you check the hits, the number of hits that we have, sometimes throughout this interleague games, sometimes we hit way more than our opponents, but if you check those hits, they are not productive. They are pretty much singles, not extra bases, and that's pretty much it. We can hit, but not with that much of a power. Yeah, that's what pretty much.
Well, and that's just it. Is that now we're relying on having consecutive hits, i.e., two or three hits in an inning in order to score a run,
yeah.
Or maybe two if we're lucky. That's not easy to do more than once or twice a game. Yeah. And so I really feel like our team is lacking a power game completely. Like you said, I mean, we've got 88 doubles on the year, which is not very high. I need to look this up to compare to other teams, but
yeah,
certainly our power numbers are very low when compared to the rest of the league. And so that needs to change. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So let us call in Jimbo and do a little fantasy talk.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this.
All right, everybody, we are fantasy redrafting today, and joining myself and Zorni is Jimbo. Welcome to the show, Jimbo.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for inviting me on, T-Ray.
Well, of course, we couldn't do this without you, for sure, and, you know, we've heard your voice every week, so it's not an unfamiliar voice to us, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Jimbo?
Okay, a little bit about myself. I live in Kobe, Japan. I'm an older gentleman.
Whatever.
I don't know what to say. I've been following the Tigers since 2005.
That's what I wanted. Yeah. Got a favorite player?
Favorite player, Toritani.
Now or then?
Well, or since 2005 when I started following, he's been the one that I've followed since then. Right now, I'm in between favorite players, I guess you could say. Like most people, I'm smitten with Hataguchi, but...
Yep. And you're still hanging on to Arutani a little bit, I guess, right? But...
For what it's worth, I mean, I wish he'd step up and, you know, be a real leader and sit himself down when he needs to sit down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, we love him. We love him.
Yeah.
All right, so anyways, we are going to jump right into the draft here. Let me just run down the rules a little bit for everybody before we get into that. Basically, some of us have made some really poor choices in the original April draft, and you can find the link for that in the draft updates. But we want a chance to make some changes here. We might even throw some trades at you. You never know. Basically, each of us is going to get a chance to drop a guy and then pick somebody up. And then we're going to go three rounds into this to see if we can make our teams any better than they are now. So just to run things down for everybody, the players that were undrafted in the original were catcher Tsuruoka, outfielder Shunsuke, and then pitchers Kojima, Ishizaki, Takeyasu, Yamamoto, Kuwahara. And then we also add the two guys that went from Ikuse up into legit status as players. That would be Haraguchi and Tanabo. Haraguchi is, of course, catcher. Tanabo is a pitcher. And then also we are adding in the possibility of Cody Satterwhite, who just signed with the team this past week. So that means that there are 10 guys that can possibly join your teams. And then also, if you drop a guy and somebody else wants him, that can also happen. So that's how we're going to do things. And we're going to start with Zorni because he got the third overall pick in the original draft. And T-Ray got the first overall pick. So it'll go Zorni, Jimbo, T-Ray. And then we're going to snake back and it'll be a three-round deal. So, Zorni, you're on the clock. Have you got anybody that you'd like to draft and pick up? I can't imagine none of these guys sitting here look like they're very attractive to pick up. So if you just want to skip, you can, but go for it.
Yeah, right. So I think you all know who I'm going to pick. It's going to be our favorite catcher, which is Haraguchi. Welcome to the team. Welcome to my team. I think I'm going to boost my team a little bit with him. Yeah.
Yeah, and who are you dropping to make room for Haraguchi?
One guy that I really want to drop is the good guy called Saka, which sucks. Right now, I'm going with Saka. Yeah.
This is the Saka episode. It's episode 35 of the show, and Saka is number 35, and he's getting the pink slip today. Poor Saka. Unless he gets dropped, picked up by either Jimbo or myself. Okay, so just for the record, Haraguchi, heading into today's play, was batting .331 with 5 home runs, 19 RBIs. He got 3 hits today, so his average went up. Absolutely incredible. In the meantime, our dear friend Mr. Saka has not actually made an appearance on the big team, and on the farm he's batting a dismal 168. No home runs, 13 RBIs, 10 runs scored, no stolen bases. So he's really not doing any favors. He is slugging 218. Slugging 218. I mean, that tells you something right there. So good choice on that one. Jimbo, you're up next. If you want to pick Saka, you can. Or if you want to pick somebody else that's in there, you are more than welcome.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to be able to pick up Saka later in the draft. So I'm going to wait on him.
I don't know.
Well, looking at my team.
Yep.
I was hoping I'd have some good pitchers, but the guys that I thought would do it haven't been doing it. Besides Messenger. Randy Messenger's been on the ball.
Man, outside of the Carp, he's been under 2 for his ERA. I mean, if they just don't put him in against the Carp, he is our top pitcher by far. Mm-hmm. Better than Iwasada, he of the 5 earned runs today. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, his ERA must have dropped. It was 3.27, but he only got 1 earned run in 8 innings, so it's got to come down a bit.
I think it's just over 3 now. I think it's like 3.06 or something. So yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah, I think Iwasada's went up half a run.
So are you telling us here that you're dropping Messenger? Is that what you're trying to get across?
No. I'm just trying to talk about my good players.
Final answer?
Okay, well, I want the draft, so I want to short my pitching is what I'm saying.
Okay. And tell us who you're dropping first.
Oh, you're going to do that to me? Zorni got to pick first.
Okay.
Okay, I'll drop. Oh, it's tough. I've got a couple guys I'm iffy on, so I'm going to have to let go of Kaneda.
Oh. He almost sounds Canadian, right?
He does. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, his ERA on the big team is 18, but he's only pitched 2 innings. But on the,
that's still four runs, though. And then on the farm, his ERA is actually 3.6, which is not too bad. But again, that gets reduced by 10%, or I guess increased by 10%. So it's probably right at four, which is not great for a farm guy, for sure. Okay, so Kaneda is off your roster.
Yes, and you guys can pick him up.
Who you want, who you want.
I'm going to go with somebody who's got a little more power, it looks like. And that's going to be Yamamoto.
Ooh.
Yamamoto, he's got 21 strikeouts in less than 20 innings. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, actually, the updated stats, that was from a day earlier, but he's got 22 strikeouts now in just over 20 innings. So still, I guess he pitched one inning, got one more strikeout. But yeah, killer, 1.77 ERA on the farm. He has not made it up to the big team, but I suspect that he's the next guy they're going to call up if they do call somebody up. And I mean, they really should, because our bullpens are terrible. So, or our first team bullpen is terrible. Okay, so Yamamoto, good pickup for you. I like that. I can agree with that for sure. So that means it's my turn, right?
Yes.
For two. Okay, well, first of all, I have to get rid of this stinker before I forget to get rid of him. And, you know,
can I despite guess?
Go for it.
My guess would be, I'm going to say you're going to drop Shimamoto.
After the next commercial break, I will. But he's not the first one off my team.
Oh,
but that's a good guess. But yeah, you can be prepared to add him if you'd like to. I'm actually going to drop the shortstop on the farm, Kai Ueda, who has been even worse than Saka. In fact, half of Saka. He is batting .082 on the farm.
That's true.
He is slugging .204 with an on-base percentage of .182. I picked him up hoping that he would get me a lot of stolen bases because he's supposed to be a really fast kid, and he's gotten a lot of playing time. He's actually played in 30 games, but that's just awful. No home runs, obviously. Two RBIs, four runs scored, two stolen bases, and batting, like I said, .082. It's not even a dollar there. So, Ueda, you're done. Absolutely done. Could not stand to keep you. And I am actually going to surprise everybody with this, because nobody would ever suspect that I would do this, seeing as I have no love for this player.
Okay.
Any guesses?
Yes.
Okay.
Zorny, you want to try to guess this one?
No. I have no idea.
What? You're dropping a guy you wanted to get stolen bases with, so I'm going to bet you're picking up a stolen base guy, and that'll be Shunsuke.
Bingo! Yeah, I'm picking up Shunsuke, and Shunsuke is one of my least favorite players. He did steal a base on Friday, which was great, and then he scored a run. And he's up on the big team, but he's batting like only a buck and some change. I think a buck 67 or something like that. But on the farm, Shunsuke was batting .300, and he had four stolen bases on the farm as well, and yeah, I just think that he's a better option than Ueda, and I think the rest of the way he will be as well. So that's me dropping Ueda and picking up Shunsuke. And actually, I get the next pick as well. So just to keep everybody not in suspense, I'm going to drop Shimamoto right now. And you know what? Shimamoto is actually not a terrible pick, especially if he stays down on the farm, because as a farmer, he's getting a lot of playing time. In fact, he's getting starts, and I think, let me find his record. He is three wins and two losses. Yeah, and he's got 31 strikeouts and an ERA of, 5.13. And that is thanks to the fact that he allowed four earned runs on zero innings pitched the other day. Infinity whip, infinity ERA. Thanks. And he was awful on the big team, even though his ERA was only 2.7. I think his whip was like, 2.4 or something like that? Can't remember exactly, but I mean, it was just downright awful. So Shimamoto is gone. And to compensate for him, actually, I am going to go with somebody that I hope comes back from injury and makes an impact on the team. And that is Tsuyoshi Ishizaki. He's also a pitcher. He has an ERA of zero on the big team. I think he did seven innings of work. And then down on the farm, I don't think he's done a whole lot of anything because he got hurt on the top team. And that was what happened. He's done 13 innings and an ERA of just under four on the farm. So not great farm numbers, but I suspect that they will call him up sooner than later.
Yeah.
So there we go. So now we are on to Jimbo for his second. I know, slim pickings, right?
No, but there's still it's, some yeah.
okay guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Then looking at the numbers, it really looks like you've got, let's see, Shimamoto's down there now. Shimamoto's out now.
Mm-hmm.
He looks pretty similar to Tanabo
mm-hmm.
in terms of ERA and such and strikeouts. But Shimamoto has more wins. Ja, this is a toughie.
You are allowed to pass if you don't want to make any changes at this point, and if you want to wait for Zorni to drop a couple more of his losers.
Pick up his scraps, huh?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've got... darn it. All right, tell you what. I'm just going to pass. I'm going to pass this round.
Ooh,
there's nobody okay. there for what I've got.
Now, Zorni has the option of going for either one or two changes to his roster before we move on.
Okay. For my pitching staff, I'm dropping Tsuru. I gotta drop Tsuru, not good enough. Yeah, actually, on the Ichigo team, his ERA is 7.71. But on the farm, it's kind of okay. It's 1.42. But it's still, I'm not sticking with him. So, okay. So okay. I'm going to drop Tsuru. And I'm going to add. So it has to be a pitcher and pitcher or just. No, doesn't matter, right?
No, you're cool. You can add a hitter. Okay. That's no problem.
So I'm going to add.
You can't add Cody Satterwhite unless you drop Dolis. Or
yeah, I know that. Yeah, sure.
Because you still have to keep, your import okay. rule. Yeah.
So for I'm gonna add Tsuruoka.
Interesting. Tsuruoka actually hit his first home run on the farm just a while ago. You've added two catchers.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's interesting. And one of them is a no-brainer, obviously. But Tsuruoka is definitely interesting one.
I think he didn't have that much at bats, but it's still still pretty good. You know.
He's 10 for 29 on the farm, so he's batting .345 with home run, 5 RBIs, and 8 runs scored, which is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I need some power hitting, so even though he's
his slugging percentage is .655. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I'm done. Okay,
you going to do your round 3 as well, or are you done?
Okay, I'm going to do my round 3, so.
Yep.
So let's see. I'm dropping... did I drop already Azuhata? No. He's still on my team, right? So it's going to be Azuhata. Yeah, for sure.
That's a good one. He has been pretty abysmal.
Yeah, just one hit in 10 at-bats. Not good enough. Not good. Not slightly. Yeah.
Actually, one in 11 now.
Yeah. Okay, that's worse. So let's see who I'm going to pick right now. It's not that good, I would say. I'm going to with Kuwahara. Yeah.
Cool, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going for him, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, Jim, you got, besides the choices that you had before, you've also got Tsuru and Azuhata to choose from. pretty attractive bunch there. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
You're going to move on round 3 or you're going to pass? You're going to keep your... You know, you're in last place in the Fantasy League and you're not trying to improve your team here. I don't get it, but yeah. I just
trying to improve him.
The Kaneda for Yamamoto is not going to move you in the first place. I'll tell you that much. One thing that
I'll tell you what, changing all my players wouldn't put me in the first place.
True that. Yeah. All right.
So I'm not that worried.
Okay.
Let me see. Let's drop Morikoshi.
All right.
Morikoshi.
Yeah.
Hasn't gone up to the big team, and on the farm. He hasn't done much either. He's hitting .179. He's got 10 runs, 8 ribbies, no stolen bases, no home runs. So
yeah,
I'm going to let him go.
Yep.
I'm going to let
Fair
him
enough.
Go. Fair enough. I was just holding on to him so Zorni couldn't have him. That's why I passed.
Yeah. Well,
he's got...
Wait till, so, with the last pick, wait till I drop Gomez and leave everybody out of the, yeah, that'd be terrible.
Jeez, okay. Well, the question is, the question for me right now is, do I want to work on innings pitched up that, or another area? So I think I'm just going to go with, I'll just go with Kojima. Why not?
Kojima, okay.
He's got 17 strikeouts. I'm trying to boost up my strikeouts. Uh-huh. See how that goes. His ERA is not so great.
No, it isn't. But that's true, because you're trailing Zorni in Ks, but you're ahead of him, I think, in innings pitched. So that's actually not a bad idea right there. I'm a little bit surprised that nobody wanted, and maybe it's because, it is because nobody really knows, but Takeyasu, he pitched his first inning of action just a couple days ago, and I think Kakefu is in the mood to use him moving forward. He actually had, it wasn't Tommy John, but he had some kind of injury, I think, before they drafted him just this past fall. But actually, I'm going to leave him as well. I'm actually not going to take a chance with him. But I am going to drop Iwamoto. I really had good hopes for Iwamoto, but he just has not done me any favors as a pitcher. Obviously, that's his job, so he doesn't hit, but Iwamoto's pitching numbers are an ERA of 3.09 with it's 15 hits and 9 strikeouts and 3 walks. So I just don't like his numbers that much, and he's not getting a whole lot of action. And actually, this is going to be the first picking up of scraps that we do, but I'm going with Tsuru, boys. I'm going
with Tsuru. I'm picking him up. Good luck.
Yeah. Boy, 15 strikeouts to just one walk, and his whip is under 1. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, but I like that a lot better than Iwamoto.
Okay.
So just for the record, Zorni gets Tsuru's stats up until the end of Interleague, and I'll get his stats after Interleague. And then for the other guys, like, everything that happens until Interleague remains. So Zorni, but if Haraguchi hits a home run tomorrow against the Buffaloes, you don't get it because it goes until the end of... Yeah. But after that, it kicks in.
Okay, no problem.
You know, but on the other side, if Saka hits a home run tomorrow, then you get that, so...
And that's going to happen. You're going to see it. You know, just because we did this redraft, it's going to happen.
He's going to catch fire after the All-Star break, and you're going to look... You're going to
count on that.
Well, okay, so... Just to recap real quick, Zorni dropped Saka, Tsuru, and Azuhata, and he picked up Haraguchi, Tsuruoka, and Kuwahara. Not bad. Jimbo skipped around, but he dropped Kaneda and Morikoshi and picked up Yamamoto and Kojima. And then T-Ray dropped Ueda, Shimamoto, Iwamoto, and picked up Shunsuke, Ishizaki, and Tsuru. So that is the way things went down in the fantasy redraft. Guys, it has been so fun to do fantasy with you guys, and it's been fun to hear your comments week in, week out. Has doing this fantasy league changed the way that you follow the Tigers, or has it impacted or affected you in any way, or is it just a lot of fun, or is it just cumbersome? Tell me a little bit about how you feel about being in the Fantasy Tigers League this year. We'll start with Jimbo.
Okay. I'd say definitely it's made me watch every game no matter what. I've been a Tigers fan since 2005, but you know, I miss games every now and then. Sometimes a week would go by and I wouldn't even catch a single game. You know, you get busy with life and whatnot.
Yep.
But now I'm always checking my phone. I've always got to see who's going up. I'm really, really closely following them. That doesn't mean I'm learning anything. Darn it. But yeah, I'm following a lot. So like my wife and my father-in-law, everybody, they're Japanese from Kobe. So they follow the Tigers. But even for them, they're like, who's this guy who's coming up? And I can go, you don't know who that is?
Huh. Yeah.
Because I know him. He's been on the farm. He's been tearing it up on the farm. That's why I called him up.
There you go.
His name is, what was his name? Nakatani.
Yeah, Nakatani.
Or something like that. Yep. I can call those out. So
Suito.
That's always a plus, you know.
Nice, nice. Zorni, how about you? What has this done for you? I mean, obviously, you're not even in Japan, so following the game might have been a challenge before, but what does being in the Fantasy Tiger League do for you?
Actually, for me, it's more of a... It, it, it doesn't really relate to the Tigers, I would say. It's more of a learning a little bit of Japanese, you know, a little bit more, because I always have to update the sheets. So I got to know the kanjis for the players and all the terms, you know, like hits, home runs, I don't know, all this kind of stuff. And so it's been a lot of fun for sure. I think when we talk about the farm, it's been something totally new for me, because it's, I think for any fan from outside Japan, it's hard to follow those minor leagues, right? So
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
so I think in this matter, it's been very interesting. You know, you gotta follow the minor league, and which is just one team, but you gotta know the prospects, I would say. Which is in America is totally different, because you constantly have those information in your face, because they really follow this, but not that much in Japan, I would say. So it's
going to be interesting, I think, you know, like for you guys for sure, and for myself as well, like next year when some of these farm guys that we've been having on our teams, when they get called up to the big team and they start to perform real well, and everyone's all surprised, and we'll be like, oh, I didn't exactly knew that. You know, kind of like what Jimbo was saying, you know, how he can tell his in-laws and his wife about all these players that they've got no clue about. So it's going to be fun in the upcoming years to see how these guys do. I hear that this kid Tsuruoka has got a great future. So Zorni, you know, you got the farm catcher, and
yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, Tsuruoka is the next up-and-comer.
Yes, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap this up, and we are going to move forward with the rest of the show. But thank you for joining us, Jimbo. It's been fun, and you know, keep following the fantasy team. It's been a lot of
Thanks
fun.
Thanks a lot, T-Ray. Always a pleasure. And don't get too upset when my boys come back and take it all.
All right. Looking forward to more of your walks to work or whatever, where we hear people jumping off the U.S. out of bandwagon and stuff like that. So
yeah, sorry about all the noise you might hear in the background of my recordings. Unfortunately, the only time I have to record is in the mornings on my way to work. And, geez, yeah, it's noisy. So, yeah, I'll try to use a big voice so you can't hear it.
As long as we know what the heavy breathing is all about, that's good. That's good. Feel it, your fantasy. Tigers fantasy.
Yes, they can. Chicky Dad, each 10 prediction.
Okay, so what do you think about the CARP series on the weekend? We are going into Hiroshima. And just so you know, Kuroda just went on the DL for them. And I think Eldred did as well. So they're missing a couple guys. But they were far and away the best team in the CL in Interleague. So they are riding, I think it's a 5 or 6 game. I think it's a 6 game winning streak right now.
Mm-hmm.
They swept the Buffaloes. And they did it in a crazy fashion with Seiya Suzuki getting back-to-back walk-off home runs, and then he hit the game-winning home run today as well in the bottom of the 8th inning. So 3 straight games, Seiya Suzuki with dramatics to win it for the CARP. I don't think he can continue that streak against us.
I don't think
this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think.
But what do you think they're going to do?
I think we have right now. We're gonna, after this Buffalo's game, we're gonna have a 3 days break.
Yeah.
So I think we have the time to recompose, you know, like we have to find time to get ourselves, give us some time, you know, some rest. And I think we're going to take this series. Yeah. 2-1. Yeah.
Okay. Keep in mind, they also get 4 days of rest because they actually
play on Monday. Course. Yeah. But I mean, okay, we need this break, you know, from the Interleague. It's been awful.
Oh, yeah.
And I think...
And maybe...
Carry on.
maybe the break for them will do us some good as well. It'll kind of kill a bit of their momentum.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, because to us, it's also a break, but in a good way. I think for them, it's going to be in a bad way.
Yeah.
I don't think they can carry this that much, you know, this momentum.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to go conservative and say we take one out of two there just because of the Carp. It's just, I don't know if it's their year or not, but man, they sure are playing like it is their year. So
yeah.
I hope that we don't go 1-2, but I'm going to still predict it anyways. So there you have it, folks. That's the predictions. All right. Well, we are going to bring this show to an end. It has been fun, as always, to trek through the week with you all. And we are now pretty much at the halfway point of the season, so I actually had plans to talk with Zorni about giving everybody a report card on the first 70 games of the year, but we'll save that for next week. If you have your own opinion about how the team has done so far, if you have anything you'd like to talk about as far as the Hanshin Tigers for the first half of 2016, send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @thehanshintiger. Hit us up on Facebook. The Facebook page is Hanshin Tigers English News. Any way you want to reach us, we'd love to hear from you. So stay in touch. And Zorni, thanks for joining and filling in as the pinch hitter for Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, T-Ray. Thank you for having me. And anytime, man. Anytime.
All right. Well, anytime just might be next week because Joe is getting married next Friday. Congrats, Joe, if you're listening. We are excited to hear all the good news about a great wedding and an exciting start to your married life the next time that we have you on the show. So everybody, enjoy your brief time off of baseball and then enjoy the weekend series against the Carp. We'll catch you next time.
ありがとうって今は言わせて